If you like, you can turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 22. It's page 16 if you're using one of the ESV Bibles. One of the hard parts about reading and understanding the Bible is that we are so far removed in time and culture from its pages. We think the people are so different. We have vast technological advances. Information can be sent from one side of the globe to another in an instant. When we think of visiting in another state, it's as simple as hopping on a plane or packing a change of clothes and getting in a car to go see a relative. It's nothing like in the days of the Bible, where a journey of a few hundred miles could take weeks or months. There was no fast food. There was no convenience stores. If you were taking a trip, you had to take what you needed, or you foraged along the way. It was a very different time. But there are some similarities. People are people. We have hopes and dreams and aspirations for ourselves, our kids, our families, our church. We feel passionate about some things. We have ambitions for the future. Some of you may have a hope for your future, your calling, or a giftedness that you feel that you have from God. Life has a sense of purpose then, and you wake up each day, you know that this is why you're here, and this is what you're supposed to be doing with your life. But what if God suddenly took that away from you? What if you had everything settled and you knew what was supposed to unfold and you knew what you were supposed to do, and then suddenly God took away from you everything that gave you that sense of purpose and security? Or harder still, what if He didn't take it from you, if instead He asked you to lay it down for Him of your own accord, no questions asked? Would you do it? Could you obey in the face of what appears to be an impossible command in an impossible situation? Would you be able to trust God? This morning we're going to travel back across time and the pages of Scripture and visit with a man whom God asked to do just that, to give up his very life and to trust God with everything. Would you look with me in your Bibles at Genesis chapter 22, and I want to read to you the first 18 verses. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Today we're going to look at the story of one man that God gave a promise to and then turned around and took that promise away. We might not be able to travel back 3,700 years, but we can try to ask, what must it have felt like for Abraham to have God ask him to give up his promised son, his only son, his beloved son, Isaac? Let's find out. Abraham.
Here I am.
You may laugh, but when 100 years old you are, look this good you will not. Good morning. I'm glad so many of you were able to join us this day. I very much have enjoyed my time in your village, being able to wander around. You have many altars here to many idols. The Burger King, the Golden Arches, the pagan basketball and football gods that you worship. Not so unlike my hometown of Ur. But it's so nice to see so many worshipers of El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, the God that we worship together. Oh, my children, it is so good to see you. Ah, but where are my manners? Perhaps you've heard of me. My name is Abraham. I was a nomad who left behind everything that he knew, his country, his family, to go to a land that God promised but didn't even tell him initially where he would go. And I know what some of you are thinking, surely only a crazy man would follow such a command. Surely only a crazy man would leave behind all of that security, everything that he knew, to follow a word from God. But I assure you, I'm not crazy. When God says go, you pick up and you go. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you understand God has put your faith to the test. He's called you to do a great many things, and you have obeyed him. You've had your faith refined. You've had your faith tested. You have strong faith. And that is what God called me to live by faith. After calling me to leave behind everything that I knew, he called to me again when I was almost 100 years old and told me that he would not only turn me into a nation, but a multitude of nations. And what's more, that me, almost 100 years old, and my aged wife, that we in our near deadness, for all intent and purposes, that we would have a child. Oh, how we laughed, and we laughed, but sure enough, at 100 years old, God blessed us with a son. And true to our laughter, we named him Isaac, named him Laughter. God was faithful to come through on his promises to me, even though I had laughed. He showed my faith true. Now, that road to faith has not always been easy. There was a time when God tested me beyond anything that I could think or imagine. And perhaps that's why he's God and I'm not. Because God can imagine the unimaginable. Would you like to hear a story today about the time that God refined my faith, about the time when he made me give over everything to him? Would you like to hear that today? It was a long time ago, but I can remember it as if it were only yesterday. I was sitting under a tree in the heat of the day when God called to me from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," I said. Of course, he already knows that, but what else can you say to God when he calls to you? But the words that I heard next, words that in so many ways were so familiar, struck dread into my heart. For God told me, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and there offer him as a burnt sacrifice on the mountain that I shall show you." The first time God called to me, he told me, "Go and leave everything behind, all of your securities, and go to a place that I'm going to show you, a land that you don't know yet." And now he asked me to take my son, the fulfillment of all of his promises, the one in whom my future line would come. He tells me to take him to a place that I don't know yet, and there offer him as a sacrifice to God. As I felt the presence of the Lord departing, I felt dread creeping up in my heart. Surely this couldn't be what God actually intended to do. All of his promises hinged on Isaac. This isn't what God wanted. This isn't what God intended. And I replayed over and over and over again in my mind the command of the Lord. It seemed like an impossible situation. But as I sat there, I realized, I looked back at all of the times that God had proven himself faithful, and I asked myself the question, has there ever been a time that God has proven himself unfaithful? Has there ever been a time where he hasn't provided everything that I need? And the answer to that question is, God has always come through even when I failed him. So early the next morning, I woke, saddled the donkeys, gathered the provisions for the sacrifice, gathered everything that I would need, the wood, the fire, the knife. I thought that maybe the work might take my mind off of what lay ahead. And early that morning, we set off on our 3-day journey to the mountain that God would show me. That night, I lay awake, looking up to the heavens. No stars. It was a cloudy night. And I began to wonder once again what God had in store for us the next day, what God would do. Because this didn't feel right. This didn't feel like what God would want. After all, he had never asked me to offer innocent blood like this. He wasn't like the God of the Canaanites. But God had given Isaac to me. If God gave Isaac to me, he has every right to ask him back again. I didn't sleep much that night. And the next morning we rose and we continued on. And throughout the course of the day, I stuck by Isaac's side. I reached out my hand to put it on his shoulder. And I'm sure he thought that all I wanted was a little bit of stability. After all, I'm not as young as I used to be. But really, all I wanted to do was to touch him, to have him close, to be there by his side. Because I didn't know what would come next. I didn't know what God intended, only that when God says go, you go. And so I obeyed. That night, once again, I lay awake, Isaac's bedroll by the fire. It gets cold in the desert at night. And I watched the slow rising and falling of his chest. Have any of you ever laid awake at night and watched your children sleep? It's a wondrous thing to look at that child and know that this came from you. It's a beautiful thing, and for me, more so, because God had promised this boy to me. I didn't adopt him. I didn't buy him, and despite all of my intentions to try my own way, God had given me this son, this child. And so I lay awake that night, and I watched him sleep. I didn't want to close my eyes, because the sooner I closed my eyes, the sooner the morning would come and the next day would bring I don't know what. So I lay awake and I watch his chest rise and fall. And the tears begin to roll down my face faster and faster. But once again, I turned my eyes to the heavens, to a night sky that is suddenly clear. And I look up and I see the stars. And it's almost as if I can hear God's voice once again saying to me, "Surely I will bless you and make your name great. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heavens." And as I looked up at those stars, I resolved in my heart that God was good. God was faithful. He had not failed me yet. And so that night, for the first time since God's command, I closed my eyes and I rested. The next morning we woke up. We started off. And eventually in the distance I saw the mountain and knew that that was the place that God had appointed. And so leaving behind the young men, I put the wood on Isaac's back. And I told my men, "I and the boy will go to the mountain to worship God. And he and I will return to you." And so we began the long trek up the mountain to the unknown. Now, at one point, Isaac began to look at me, puzzled. And eventually he broke the silence and said to me, "My father?" "Here I am, my son. We have the fire. We have the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Isaac knew that something wasn't right. You don't come to God and offer him nothing. And in that moment, looking into his eyes, I almost broke again. "My child, my son of the promise, asks me, where is the sacrifice?" I answered him the only way I knew how. "The Lord himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And if need be, my son will be the lamb that God provides. And so we continued up until we reached the summit. And I took the wood off of Isaac's back, and I laid it there, and I built the altar. And then I turned to my son, and he just stood there, looking at me, so trusting, knowing how much I love him. I took his hands, and I began to bind them. He didn't fight back. He didn't cry out. He just looked at me. And I took my son, my only son, and I laid him on the altar. And all the while, in the back of my mind, God's promises are repeating over and over and over again that God had made me send Ishmael away, that God had put everything on this one boy, this boy who is now bound on the altar. But I knew this, that if God can bring forth a child from a man and a woman as good as dead, surely he can bring the dead back to life again. Because I know that God is faithful. So I took the knife and I looked down at my son. I raised the knife. I was giving my son back to the God who had given him to me. Abraham! My hand stopped. And for another time, once again, I said, "Here I am, my Lord. The voice that had brought me dread only 3 days before now spoke to me and filled me with hope, with love. God is faithful. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And then behind me I heard a noise, and there in the thicket was a ram caught by its horns. And weeping, I went over and I bound the ram. And weeping, I took my son down off of the altar and put instead the sacrifice that God provided. And as if his provision were not enough, he called a second time from heaven, "Because you have not withheld your son from me, because you have obeyed my voice, surely I will bless you. Surely I will make your offspring as the stars of the heaven, as the sand on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Isaac stands by my side and hears the promises of God being spoken not just to me, but to him. And in that moment, I received my son back to life again and saw my faith in God realized, because I didn't withhold from him the one thing that I had laid my hope on. I transferred all of that hope to a God who is able to take care of me, to a God who is able to provide even when I don't understand what he is going to do. And so I called that mountain, "The Lord will provide," and it reminds me of the faithfulness of God, a God who has never ever failed me. Some of you here today are standing much in the same place that I did so many years ago. You're living your lives in the way that you see fit, sure that what you're doing is what you're supposed to be doing. But I have news for you. God has a tendency to mess our best laid plans up. And a life that is not surrendered to God is not worth living. What is your security today? Mine was my son. I had the option of listening to God or holding on to my son. My son could have become my idol, my God, my sense of hope, my sense of security. What is it for you? Is it your job, your children, your family, your friends, this building of worship? Or is your hope in the only hope that matters? I never got to see the fulfillment of all of God's promises. I never got to see the offspring of Isaac or the children that would eventually become the nation that was promised to me. I only got to see them from afar. You, on the other hand, have the greatest promise that God ever gave, a promise that he kept with his own son. My question for you this day is, if you are living your life for yourself, whether you think you have things figured out or you're just trudging through life, surviving instead of thriving, is this: have you trusted in the sacrifice that God has provided? Have you trusted in his provision instead of your own? Because you see, the ultimate fulfillment of everything that God said to me was found in the son that he sent, one of my own descendants, the one who would bless the nations and reconcile the world back to God, in the God-man, Jesus Christ. I didn't live to see it, but you see it, and you have that same choice before you. Will you live your life as you see fit, or will you lay everything down on that altar and trust in the provision that God has provided? Will you give your life over to him? Will you trust in Jesus? Will you pray with me? El Shaddai, God who provides exceedingly beyond all we could ask for or imagine, Lord, we confess that so often we trust in our own devices. We trust in our own means of salvation. We believe in other things other than you for our sense of security. Lord, this morning I pray, if there's anyone here who is still living their life as they see fit apart from you, that you would now convict their heart, that you would call them to their mountain, that you would call them to the Mount of Calvary. And that there at the foot of the cross, at the foot of the sacrifice that you have provided, that they would die to themselves, that they would give their lives over to you, to your Son, to Jesus. And now, as we pray, as we examine ourselves, if there are any here that do not know Jesus as Savior and Lord, if you would like to receive him today, you can, for God has called you to himself. God has called you to come and to die. Will you seek his face this morning and pray? O Lord, I am a sinner. O Lord, I am lost apart from you. I've been doing everything my own way. O Lord, I need your sacrifice, your Son, to cover over all of my sins, to forgive me of every trespass against you. Will you take me and redeem my life? Help me to live for you. If there are any there this morning that prayed a prayer like that, as the music plays, come talk to us. We would love to pray with you. Lord, we give you glory now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.